later I was able to intern at the Bill Reed Gallery. And then, so it's kind of like just been a big place for me to just feel connected to being home and everything. And then finally, this is like my first time having my art on display in a gallery space. So it's pretty exciting that it gets to be Bill Reed Gallery for the first place in Vancouver.
Now we
So
know,
it's more personal.
we worked in some m multiple areas of art or with multiple materials. What is your particular material?
So I originally went to study for animation, and then as I was in school, I realized that it's not what I wanted to do. And then I s now focus more in illustration and classical high to form line design and different kinds of things like that, mostly digital and traditional materials between watercolor and my iPad.
That's exciting because contemporary, that was one of the other things that they're talking about connecting with contemporary artists, that Bill had a historical almost 40 years in the field, but a lot of the things appeal to contemporary artists. How do you feel that is enabling you to connect with young artists that might visit or that you talk with?
Honestly, like talking about Bill's work, last night I saw a piece that I haven't seen before, and it was just so cool to see, just thinking about the different ways and perspective that we could create our art beyond, like, our traditional materials that we've used, and just ways of perceiving things and using form line to create, and or not just form line, but those kinds of sorry, I'm fumbling. So, just seeing like exciting ways that we could create our work through these things, from his wire sculptures to his charcoal drawings to jewelry, and just the amount of work he's done. Like, it's always so exciting because, I've got to work at the Bill Reed Gallery. I've got to like read so many of the books, and it's still just like, oh my God, I've never seen this one before. And
There's
so, oh, sorry.
such an elaborate body of work.
Yeah. And just the materials and everything, and the styles too. But yeah, it's pretty cool to like talk about our art and seeing how we could be in like the art spaces and what's considered traditional styles and materials.
What is, having gone through the whole gallery, do you have a particular favorite besides your work? Is there a particular favorite style or area there for you?
It was pretty amazing to see. I think I'm kind of drawing a blank, but seeing the model with the work. I think it was Lonnie's piece, Yolanda Skelton's work, on display on a mannequin model just at the end of like the entrance. And it's just, I don't know, it was just such a bold, awesome piece to see. And then my friend's piece in there, that's a traditional Chilkat weaving, that I always just admire her work so much.
Yeah, I think it's giving such a greater range because sometimes people will have a picture of Indigenous art and they just have one particular style or format or material in mind. So I think the breadth of what people are seeing by the variety of artists and then seeing how that's linked to someone generations ago.
Also, Kelly Robinson's, his bracelets always just blow me away. So, and it's so beautiful, and it's really cool to see his massive bracelet next to Bill's like masterwork collections of his jewelry in the show.
What are you passionate, most passionate about in your development as an artist?
I kind of like to think of myself, how a shark can't stop swimming. I feel like I can't stop creating. And so, like, for me, like, I need to just constantly just look at different ways of art and how they're making. And I honestly am so grateful for the internet, just for other creators who are so open to sharing how they create stuff, from like molded acrylic paints to just fabric, like felt needling and things, and just seeing how humans can like show their passions in these tangible ways, and it's just so exciting and just yeah. For me, I like to consider myself competitive, but not with other people, with just myself. Like, I want to know that I could be able to do these different things and that I have it capable.
Now, I know people hear the words Haida Gwaii, but can you tell us a little bit about the culture and about the land itself? Because with travel, sometimes Canadians or people will go to Europe or go to other places, but there's some fascinating art right here. Can you, for a second, give us a picture of what Haida Gwaii is like?
Yeah, for sure. So it's an archipelago. It's off the coast of BC, across the waters from Prince Rupert, and then below the Alaskan Panhandle. So we're like below the border. You can see Alaska on a sunny day, and then on a sunny day you can see Prince Rupert on like BC. I think it's the second most dangerous strait in the world to go from Prince Rupert to Haida Gwaii. It's some pretty wild storms in the winter time, and it's a population of under 5,000 people, and half of the island is protected by Gohonest National Park and Parks Canada, and it's protected mountaintop to ocean floor, and it's several of our southern villages. So it's some untouched areas of nature that still have our traditional like village sites, with a few totem poles and some house posts and things. And it's incredible. I'm really missing home right now because it's the time for when the whales are coming, and I love seeing whales on the inlet. It's a lot of rain, but when there's sunshine, it's so beautiful. And there's just so many spaces that you could go to that you'll just be completely alone in nature, especially like the beaches and things. And it's a very small town, related to a lot of people. Everybody knows each other, and it's very friendly. The best food. I don't think there's anybody who can cook seafood as good as people in Haida Gwaii, but that might be up for debate.
So, do you see in this exhibition, I don't want to say slices, but circles, shapes, things that relate to the different fauna and flora of the island? Do you see the influence as you're looking at people's work? Do you see the connection to the land?
Well, not everybody is from Haida Gwaii in the show. There's three of us who are. And I think the land always plays a big part in most Indigenous people's work. And, especially when you're from community, it's such an influence of who we are and how we represent ourselves.
What is significant to you about the length of time that the exhibition is going to be in Vancouver?
It's pretty exciting. It's just really nice to know that it's not a short show and you can just go and stroll in and see it throughout the year. And yeah, it's just really cool.
I think it's the only public gallery in Canada that's devoted to contemporary Indigenous art of the Northwest Coast. So, you think that in terms of people's aspirations, Indigenous children are children of any culture or race? Do you think that the length of time that it's there and they have an opportunity to visit different sections or hear artists, do you think that that will influence more people in making a decision to become an artist?
I honestly think everybody is an artist. I think people are just shy of the title artist. I think most people think artist is drawing, but the way that people can create and things, and like I think there's artistry in everything that we do. But definitely, just like I've been fortunate enough to see so many of the different shows that were held at the Bill Reid Gallery and just the different types of art that's created. And I think it's a really like astounding example to show like what is possible for creation.
Right, and not the limitations, because as you said, some people are ashamed. I've had little drawings and People fold it up or laugh at it. But now, I feel inspired to work with crochet or work with yarn, that it doesn't have to be that,
There's some phenomenal crochet and knitting pieces that exist. Like my friend showed me this one artist. I have it saved on my phone, and he does these like costumes, and they're so incredible and like beautiful and just like so wild beyond just your m usual materials and how he builds up the designs and things.
That's wonderful too, because I think some people, when they think of, I ask a lot of people, do you go to museums or art galleries? And I think just the stereotype in people's mind, it's flat, it's a painting against the wall. But these three-dimensional pieces that I'm seeing or hearing you talk about, could, I think, really spark more of a person's sense of, I can do that, or I can appreciate that, or I can talk about having it, rather than having that kind of disappointment of having that picture laughed at because it didn't look like the Mona Lisa.
And I think there are some incredible doodles that are like phenomenal. I don't think they need to be fully rendered drawings to be considered art.
In your work as an artist, how long have you known you wanted to be an artist, or when did you, how long have you been passionate about creating and sharing your art?
As far as I know, since I could hold a pencil, there was a time where I wanted to be an animal rescuer, but my mom said that it might not be the best job for me financial wise. And later, it was just art was always my thing. I've never not been an artist. When I was a child, my cousin and I we would draw cartoons all the time, and we just loved living in these cartoon characters and building them up. And then that was what I wanted to do. My dad was a jewelry carver, and he told stories about how to sneak down to his desk and scratch up all his medals. And then it was hard for him because he couldn't be upset about how I just wrecked his silver, because it was just me trying to learn and he's myself. And then my friend made me laugh the other day. We were catching up. We catch up every 6 months or so, and we were talking about in grade 10 where you have to do those assessments, like what you're going to be when you grow up. And our teacher was just like, you're just going to be an artist. Here's the art schools you can choose
Did you have a mentor or mentors?
So many. I'm really fortunate to grow up in a community where it's so arts, like art is so celebrated. I've had just my art teacher, Miss Bresario, was a huge influence in me. My mom, she really supported me in my path of wanting to become an artist. So she signed me up for extracurricular activities outside of school. So with Sheila Caro, who's a Canadian painter. And then as I went on, I had friends who would talk to me about haida art and stuff. So I consider a lot of the people in my life as my mentors, but I don't know if people would really take on that title of being mentor. And then I got to do the YVR Emerging Artist Scholarship, where you work with a mentor. So I worked with Sheila Caro, who's a painter. I did a watercolor painting. And then later, just recently during the pandemic, I worked with haida artist Corey Savard, who's an incredible artist as well. And so from there, I got to work a lot with my friends as I took art more seriously, like, sorry, haida form line more seriously. I worked a lot with looking at the collections and museums and studying like the traditional and classical styles. And from there, my friends and I, we would just talk about it all the time. And, we would share what we found, and we would share our thoughts and our opinions on things. I got to do a 2 3-month course with Ben Davidson on the introduction to haida form line and carving. I learned that I am not meant to be a carver. I have tendonitis in both of my wrists, and I was in pain. And I somehow managed to cut both of my thumbs at one point, at one time. And Ben was really impressed with that and made sure that the band-aids were at my desk the entire course.
Well, I think that would be my experience. I'm not good with cutting things, but I'm inspired now with poetry. I write poetry, I do crochet, but I never really thought of integrating the crochet, into representing trees or something. I think that's one of the things that I think people will find exciting about the exhibition is that you get the idea of what's possible. Bill Reed wasn't in a box, you know, they didn't, where they would have liked to say, you're a painter. He did not fall into, you know, just being limited, put in a box. He's got all of this work in gold and work with wire, so much that I think that that's, you find that that's inspiring to other artists to feel like you don't have to be in a box with just one title.
I hope so. I think it's really good for us to be able to have these skills and learn different things, whether it's like newer traditional materials or, older materials that we've had.
Do you have a favorite piece of work of your own? Something that you know, there's some artists that no matter what amount of money people offer them, they don't want to part with it. Do you have something that is just such a treasure you don't want to find it hard to part with?
I have one for myself that I contemplated selling during my beginnings, and my mom said, she put her hands on it and said, no, we're not selling that. And I didn't understand the importance. And this was when I started to shift away from the idea of working in animation and like classical animation and hand drawn to wanting to focus more on Haida art. And when I was starting in this area, I didn't really know form line. I knew how to look at it, I knew how to understand it, but I didn't know how to execute it. And so I wanted to be a Haida artist. And so I did these contemporary paintings instead. And then I didn't know, like, it was like, I had a few of these in my early 20s of becoming an artist of existential crisis of what kind of artist am I? And so when I was coming out of this love and passion for animation, I was like, oh my God, like, am I even an artist anymore? And on a whim, I did this painting, and it's a supernatural, like our supernatural dogfish mother, and she's dancing in the tide. And so the character is using imagery from like mass carvings and totem poles, and then I made her made out of wood because so many times when you would be doing the tours of the museums when I was a summer student, you'd be telling the story, showing the totem pole, and sometimes for people it would be hard to see this totem pole and this figure. And so I was imagining like, oh, how would I show them as like these living being creatures? And so I started to integrate. I never painted with watercolor very much at this point either. I was more painting with acrylic, and I just picked up the watercolors and I just did this painting, and I had no idea if this was what I wanted to do. And I posted it on Facebook and my down here in Vancouver in my third year of school, and all so many people from back home were just so blown away by this piece, and I had such great reception at the time. I think I got 100 likes on Facebook, and I was just made me feel so good about myself, and I got it framed later, and it's hanging up at my mom's house, and it's just kind of my piece. So it's
Right.
like
Your
my
treasure.
yeah.
I'm happy that you have been able to share some of your development as an artist because sometimes in school, people try to push people into particular things or push people according to what the salary, you know, you could make 100,000, you could make $60 an hour rather than around what really gives life to the person, but also gives life to the society. So thank you for sharing your educational experience, the trauma of changing and wondering what would happen, because I'm sure there are other people at Simon Fraser right now that are, you know, feeling a desire to change, but now your story might make them feel bold enough to follow their passion or follow their heart and switch.
Yeah, taking the leap is scary, but I have found that each time I take the leap, it's sometimes can be rocky when you land, but it's always been, if you have the dream and the goal, it's gonna be there. It just doesn't mean it's a straight path.
Well, that sounds like a great title for a show. Take the
Yeah.
Oh, great for a person from at an area of the world surrounded by water.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I want to thank you for coming and talking with me about the exhibition, your role in life as an artist, encouraging people. It's excited me. I've gone to sometimes, well, now I go to museums and I go to galleries more frequently, but you really, shown why people could take the opportunity of going maybe weekly all the way through January when this exhibition will be available. The address, you want to tell people maybe you want to share your website. Do you have a website or a fan page that you want to tell people about?
I don't have a website because I just feel so nervous about making a website because I don't know what I want it to look like. But I do have an Instagram account where I post pretty frequently. It's at the Cat King.
Spell it in case.
TheCatKing.
Okay, and the location where you can go and see this show is the Bill Reid Gallery of Canadian Art. And this is at on Hornsby Street. You can go to the website and get directions on how to get there. And you can know that it's accessible. And as you heard in the earlier part of the interview, groups can come and it's free. Students at Simon Fraser can go because Simon Fraser was one of the early funders for the Bill Reid Gallery. Indigenous people can go free. Seniors and youth have a reduced price. So if you just go to the website, you'll be able to find that. And you can even ask questions or make sure a date that you want to bring a group is available. So Shoshana, do you have any parting words of advice or encouragement to give people to come and see this wonderful exhibition?
I would say give yourself some time. Like, book a good amount of time to go through and just really get yourself comfortable in the gallery to see and read everything that's open there. It's pretty incredible the amount of work. It's pretty, yeah. And
And plan to go more than once or bring a group. They do have, you can arrange for groups up to 12. It is friendly and welcoming of children, and it's friendly and welcoming for people with any mobility challenges. There's an elevator next door to the building, but if you go on the website and you contact them, you will get assistance in making arrangements for anyone that has special needs. So I am thankful for being able to talk with you today. Wish you all the best of success in your art and hope you do one of the workshops between now and January so people can talk with you directly.
hello so much. It was really nice to chat with you. If I could offer one other thing as
Sure.
a suggestion, is also bring your sketchbook. It's always great to bring your sketchbooks if or your notebooks when you're there, or if you're visiting any museum and gallery, and just get yourself comfortable to draw and sketch or write as you see.
Right. It's not anybody coming up saying, "Are you trying to copy this work?"
No.
Well, thank you for that tip. So have a wonderful exhibition. Look forward to seeing you. And I'll say to our audience, this is Sister C. I'm Charlotte Farrell. It has been Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. And the thing I want you to act upon is going out to see this exhibition at the Bill Reid Gallery and knowing that you are getting a treat that people in other parts of Canada have. It is at 639 Hornsby. There are directions that you can get online. So 639 Hornsby Street in the heart of downtown Vancouver. See this wonderful show between now and January. See it several times. Right. I'll talk to you again. Maybe see you there.
Okay, how was so much? Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Love.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at The Place to Be. You have been with me for the hour. I thank you. I know you have many places and things you could do with your time, but I thank you for listening up as we speak up so that you can act upon getting more art in your life as you learn that art is fascinating. It's not in a box. There are many mediums that people have expressed themselves in, and maybe you can too. I'll see you again next week at 10, but remember, I always say it's love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace.